And the good Lord said, faith without works is dead. No, it is not a salvation of works, but if we have true faith, there will be works that will follow. This lady, this young lady is CEO, Crystal Netherton. She's the CEO of Graceway Village, and you've had your hands busy in the work of the Lord after those tornadoes that struck down. I saw the devastation and started to cry the other day. You know, Michael took me on tour of Spanish Lakes and down there, and even on the beach houses that are ruined, it's terrifying. Even my dentist lost the roof of his office and all that equipment. Oh, it's terrible. So welcome to our broadcast, though.
Well, thank you, Mr. Red. I appreciate you having me.
Great to have you here.
Yes. So Graceway Village has really done an important part of the effort with Lakewood Park Church. So after the storm immediately, Lakewood Park Church congregants really jumped into action. Mm-hmm. It really became a hub for the Lakewood Park area that was hit so hard. So Graceway Village stepped in, though, and was able to organize volunteers, organize the effort of distribution of this essential items to the client, and then also organize the donations that they were receiving. So we really just came alongside Lakewood Park Church and helped
them.
What
is Lakewood Park Church? What kind, is it a non-denominational?
I believe they're Methodist, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is that the church I went to?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Lakewood Park Church is where we've been, distributing
all
the
right.
items.
So that's why we stopped there, because we thought you might be there. That's
yes,
right. I'm
sir.
Sorry.
You missed me that
now,
morning.
I have no idea, and maybe my listeners and viewers don't either. What is, it's called Graceway Village.
Yeah, so Graceway
Now, did this
Village,
exist before you came along?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Did this exist before you came along?
Absolutely. So we started in 2009.
Okay.
And I came on in about 2012, 2011
wow.
era. So I started as a volunteer. Graceway Village is a wonderful 501c3 nonprofit organization helping our community. And the birthplace of where Graceway Village was formed was with congregants of a Presbyterian church wanting to merge with another Presbyterian church on Virginia and 25th.
Okay.
So when they did that merger, this property was intended to be used for some sort of community effort. So the three major needs in our community were clothing for children, food for those that are food insecurity, and then housing for families threatened with homelessness. So those are our three main.
And this is all prior to the tornado. This is what
absolutely.
You normally do.
Since 2009, we've been doing
now
it.
Now you have
yes,
a store.
Sir. We have a clothing boutique in that. And we have our cafe.
Now, where's the cafe?
1780 Hartman Road.
Okay. And is that daily?
4 days a week is what our cafe operates. Our clothing boutique.
Breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Dinners.
Oh, dinners. Okay.
Yes. Our clothing boutique operates twice a week.
Okay.
Tuesday and Wednesdays. And we have great vision for the future to really help families threatened with homelessness. So we're going to be building a shelter that really will allow these families the opportunity to become self-sufficient.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you. I know nothing about you. It's our first time meeting. I already like you. Don't worry. You're
thanks.
Fine. But I'm very impressed. You're obviously quite young. Well, of course, with being 70, you're, you know, you're, anyway. But so you look like a little kid to me.
Oh, how funny.
But. I would like to ask you this, as a CEO.
Sure.
Now, did you go to school to become a CEO? How did you get thrust into this position at such a young age? Somebody must have seen your leadership ability.
Oh, thanks, Rhett. I love that question because it is undeniably the Lord. The
Great.
Lord is what
Don't
has
you love
orchestrated.
It when he does it and you know?
Yes, absolutely. So like I mentioned before, you know, I started around 2012 volunteering. A friend of mine asked me to pick up a donation bin of clothing that was at our local church and bring over to Graceway Village.
So one bin.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
So whenever I was bringing, you know, this donations over to Graceway Village and dropping them off, I just saw how much need existed in our community. I'm born and raised in Fort Pierce. My dad was also, and then I have my kids who are also still residing in Fort Pierce. They're 24 and 21. So
your children are 24 and 21?
Yes, sir. So three generations.
You look like you're in your 20s.
Oh, how funny. And then also my grandfather was there in Fort Pierce.
Word.
So four generations of Floridians, but also locals, you know. So whenever I saw just how much need existed, I couldn't unsee it. So I had to do more, right? So I started volunteering a lot more. And then a wonderful lady by the name of Linda Chastain, many of your listeners probably
know
her.
She
really saw something in me that I didn't know existed. But
and who was she that she should notice this?
Oh,
was she
sure.
A leader?
So she was one of the church congregants. She's longtime lived in Fort Pierce, multiple generations, and also really a founder of Graceway Village. And at the time, it was called Hope's Closet for Children.
Well, you know, talent is rare.
Yes.
But more rare is talent that recognizes talent.
Right.
The guy who ran Columbia Records for years, Clive Davis, said that in his book. Mm. Talent is rare, but far more rare is talent that recognizes talent. So that's nice that she recognized leadership qualities in you.
Yes. And I started by the main job was she wanted me to organize the sorting room. So I went from doing that to administrative assistant.
Now, hold on.
Yes,
no,
sir?
So were you a natural organizer?
I believe so. Yes. I believe that's a talent, I guess, of mine.
Well, no, because I have a certain admiration for that in that I'm a little on the spectrum and a little dyslexic and things. So there are those of us who are, they say, highly gifted in some areas and deplete almost, they use the word retarded, which I know some people don't want you to use that word anymore, in other areas. That's one of my weak areas. So I have great admiration for that, administrative. And it's an academic. I presume you were an academic?
Well, some have, you know, other names for it. My kids... I try not. They sometimes will call
Your
me
kids,
picky
what?
Or
oh, yeah.
And I say, let's not use that. Let's say particular. So I'm particular. Right.
Yeah.
But so she saw that in me and I moved on from sorting room manager to administrative assistant. And I loved that
Great.
Position because that was working really one on one with the client. And I believe every person has a story and seeing the clients come into our boutique. Really, you get to know them on, and you get to hear their story and what's bringing them to get this clothing from Graceway Village and providing hope and encouragement and a smiling face. And, you know, I loved that position. But then the need for a COO came open and I was asked to take that. And I jumped into that because of the organization skill, I guess.
Yeah.
And then whenever I did that for a few years, especially at the height of COVID, so really learning to think outside of the box and not just get stuck in our ways of doing things and how can we help more and how can we do it more efficiently. So I really enjoyed and thrived in that position. But then CEO became available. Our CEO at the time wanted to retire, and the board asked me if I would apply, and I said, absolutely. So it took a little coercing, but I did.
Yeah, because that's a lot to shoulder,
and,
isn't it?
And I just didn't see that within myself, but the Lord
guided that. Now, that's what I want to know.
Guided that.
Where do you see his footprint or his thumbprint in all of this, that you know it came from him? This, because it is written that God lifts one up and puts another one down, and it says promotion cometh from the Lord, and he add his riches without sorrow. A lot of people go out there and they make a lot of dough themselves, and they can add to their own sorrow. But the Lord addeth riches without sorrows. So tell me, how do you see his fingerprints in all this?
So looking back over the past 11, 12 years, you really see how he's trained me to go through every position so that I would have a knowledge. And I think he calls us and he equips us. So he doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
He doesn't clean the fish. Catches the fish, then you clean it.
So I just feel like he has really allowed me to see every aspect of Graceway Village and really know the ins and outs. And also... personally, I mentioned my son, 21, and you asked me earlier if I was I forget what you called it, but book knowledge, you know, like in education.
Academic.
Academic, yes. And obviously I'm not.
Well, I don't think that's obvious.
Sorry. But
well, did you go to
college? I couldn't think of the word academic,
so
that was funny.
Did you go to college?
No, sir, I didn't. No.
How refreshing. Well, no, but you're right on target because they're finding out that, you know, higher education, first of all, is big business, okay?
Right.
And it used to be for the indolent rich. I mean, I'm talking, you know, 100 years ago, whatever. And also places like Harvard, people don't realize, and Princeton were all started for ministerial, to teach ministers how to become ministers.
Yeah.
And so now we've gotten kind of carried away. And now you're having very successful, wealthy families who are saying, no, our son's not going to go. He's going to go learn air conditioning.
Right. Because into the trades.
I mean, you want to live well in Florida, get into a trade.
I think it's important to always follow his will for your life, right? And one needs to pray and consider the options and really seek his will in determining what their path is going to hold.
Well, it says in the scriptures, they're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine. He used to sell oil to pretty ladies on the beach in Key West years and years ago. He's now deceased. Anyway, he got born again to the Lord. Then he met his wife, Kathy. Then he decided to go to ministerial school, and then he went to 4 years, and then he went to the thing, and then he was with the Baptist, and after getting his degree, they said, oh, you can't preach. Why? Oh, we didn't know you're divorced. You're not allowed to preach in any of our churches. He ended up with some little church in upstate Florida, and anyway, keeled over dead on the ocean, and I loved him, Shane, and, you know, I thought, maybe forget about all that schooling. If you know the Lord, jump out on.
That's
why don't you go to the beach now and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? You don't have to be forever learning. I mean, it's nice to have intellectual entertainment.
Well, I think we are forever learning, though.
We are.
He's always teaching
us things. But Jesus said, forever learning, never coming to, or maybe it was Paul, never coming to the knowledge of truth, meaning that, like Jesus said, on that day, he said, many will come to me saying, we did signs and wonders, we cast out demons in your name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, but you who visited me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison, you did that to me? Come in. And the guy will say, what do you mean? I don't remember you, Jesus. We don't remember you. So when you did it to the least of these, you did it, my brother.
Did it for
So that's great what you're doing. Anyway,
thank you, sir.
It opens up the door. It's important that people know you don't have to have a degree to do what you're doing.
Sure, and I think many of those skills were taught to me by my children. You know, I was a young mom. Like I said, my kids are 24 and 21.
In other words, you died to self.
Exactly. They became first. Yes. And, many lessons were learned in raising them. And my son was born 10 weeks early and suffers from cerebral palsy.
Oh.
So I had to really be his advocate in getting him the, things that he needed, not only in his education, but in his medical, life as well. So, just really learned how to speak up for one that doesn't have a voice. And I think I do that for our clients. Many people have the perception that our clients are ones that don't have a job or don't want to work or not have aspirations. And that's not true. Our clients that we are seeing since the pandemic, we've really seen a different face of poverty. You know, these are families that are working, that have a job, that are having to stay in their car because they can't make a rent payment. They're having to stay in a hotel.
So are you the developmental director as well? So you have to go out and solicit funds, I presume?
Absolutely. So as CEO, I wear many hats. And unfortunately,
because that's a whole profession in itself.
Yeah, unfortunately, right now we don't have a development director, but I am looking to hire, and I hope the Lord brings me that special someone, and I do think he has one in his plan for us. But currently, that is a major hat that I wear. And in the wave of devastation that we've all just experienced, this is no one in our area has seen or are used to tornadoes. And this is just prime example, also the pandemic, that Graceway Village believes in our mission, and we are there, and we step up, and we go into action and help those that need help. Our neighbors are in need, and it could be you know, your grandkids may go to school with a friend that could be possibly homeless. In St. Lucie County school system, there's over 2,000 children registered as homeless. And
2,000 are registered.
That's correct. It's actually 2,772 children are registered as homeless. And
thank you for knowing that number.
Oh, every child needs a voice.
Okay.
And it's unreal. And there is absolutely no homeless shelter in St. Lucie County for families. So Graceway Village.
There's no.
No, sir.
Now, we have one up here in Indian River County, but you don't have one down there.
No, St. Lucie County does not have one for families.
And you're huge.
Mm.
I mean, St. Lucie County is the fastest growing county, isn't it? I think in Florida. It used to be Palm Bay, but I think it's you now.
Sure.
It's one or the
it's
other.
It's large.
You're the one or two.
Yes. So with that, you know, we have the vision to create an opportunity for families threatened with homelessness to come and stay with us for 1 month to 18 months, depending on where they are
so
in
you
life.
You have that now?
No, sir. We're
you
this is
do
our
that.
Vision.
So how
yes,
much
sir.
Money do you need?
The good Lord knows, but it's 4.3 total.
4.3 total. Oh, you yeah, might expand that. 4.3
yes.
total.
And we are about.
That's weekly spending cash for some people around
yeah,
here.
Oh, my goodness.
We have more Fortune 500. Yeah. Well, we have more Fortune 500 retired CEOs than any zip code in the United States of America. So
that's I really call on their heart to take a look around them and see the need. Like I mentioned before, you know, whenever I didn't know about Graceway Village, I was really in my own rut, going to the grocery store, being a stay-at-home mom, taking the kids to school, never seeing the poverty that existed. So once that's revealed to you, once you open your eyes and really see the area surrounding you and the people that make up your community, I feel we're as strong as our weakest link.
Now, let me ask you about your growing up days. Were you impoverished? Or were you rich? Were you middle class? What were you?
I would say my dad was a commercial fisherman. My mother, she was a dental assistant. And
they do well.
Yeah, she did really good. She was able to be with us before school and drop us off. And then after school, she worked from 8 to 2:30. So it was a wonderful job for her. But I would not say that we were poverty stricken. But my mom has many stories of my dad making a strike and catching some fish on Christmas Eve and her going out and getting Christmas presents. So
well,
we had everything. And as a child, I didn't know those struggles.
You
know, we had everything. I never went hungry.
Let
the Lord always provided.
So I was brought up very prosperous initially. My father was an attorney at law, but he was killed young. And then my mother married the vice president of IBM. So there was a lot of dough. And then there was alcoholism and things got bad. Then there was a divorce. My mother and I were relegated to a little apartment downtown. So I've lived in impoverished territory. And then later on in life as a struggling songwriter, I lived in the ghetto of Troy, New York. Now, I bring this up only for the fact that, first of all, if you're in the ghetto, you can get out of the ghetto. I got out of the ghetto. But the Lord got me out of the ghetto. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. The other day, I was with Michael. And, you know, and I was with a pastor. Who was I with? Pastor Trevor. Do you know Pastor Trevor?
I don't believe I do.
Well, you need to meet them.
Okay.
They have a little Presbyterian church in town here. His dad's a doctor. His brother's a doctor. His grandfather before him was a doctor. He's going pre-med.
Nice.
He meets his wife, who's a physician's assistant. Well, they fell madly in love, and she got to be a physician's assistant, but she introduced him to Jesus, and now he's a pastor.
Amen.
But we're down there, and we're bringing bags. He invited me over to the church over in Oslo. We back up the bags, and we go down by you, by Spanish Lakes, the other side of the street.
Okay.
They're a little poor community. And he says, I'm just taking these 8 to 10 families here, and I visit them frequently so they get to know me. In other words, it's an intimacy.
Sure.
You don't have to feed the world, you know, feed the ones in front of you consistently.
Sure.
Anyway. So when we went up to the gates, I'm trying to be honest here. I am being honest. I still get scared of poverty. When we were there delivering the food, it's like, oh, man. I don't know. I said, maybe I'm just not cut out for delivering food. And yet I have a heart for people.
Mm-hmm.
But because I've had ups and downs in my own life, I guess the lack of discipline scares me when I see people living these lives and maybe not making a step forward to be better. Maybe they can't. I mean, I don't know the circumstances.
I think
Am I a bad guy for being afraid of poverty?
I think the Lord's called us to multiple areas, you know, and that's why I love Grace Bay Village so much. So we're not only there meeting our clients' needs, we're meeting the needs of volunteers who have time on their hands that want to come out and serve. We're meeting the needs of those that want are able to give financially, so they're able to give to Grace Bay Village so that we can put their hard-earned money to work in our community. You know, so we're there not only just to meet the client's needs, but also for the needs of our community as a whole.
Have you ever, so put out your hand to shake my hand. Have you ever had anybody do this? They're shaking your hand, but they're looking over your shoulder to see if there's someone more important in the crowd.
Uh-oh.
I had that done here by a famous realtor. We had the Boston Pops here. She comes right up to me, shakes my hand. She's looking around. Who's someone? I saw Bernie Sanders at a parade a couple of years ago up in Vermont. And this young man, and, you know, Bernie's supposed to be, you know, this, you know, bleeding heart liberal guy. Anyway, so this guy comes up to him, a young guy, maybe 30. And he goes to shake his hand. Bernie shakes his hand. It was at the end of a July 4th parade, but Bernie's looking all over the place for somebody more important. And at that moment, it was a great learning thing for me. I realized the Lord said, you cannot feed a million people.
Mm-hmm.
You can feed a million ones. In other words, feed the one that's in front of you. Because we all like to be, at least men, like to be grandiose. I want to feed the world. And God said, okay, well, why don't you go down and volunteer for her and make some sandwiches?
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that idea, too, that, you know, we can't help everyone. And that's why our restorative facility is also just for families. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to help the individual
sure.
who's homeless.
I used to volunteer over at our father's soup kitchen here, and I'd make lunches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I started seeing the same people.
Mm-hmm.
What worries me is that give a man a fish, he'll mm-hmm. eat well tonight. Teach a man how to fish, he'll eat well the rest of it. Your father was a fisherman.
Yes, he was.
Professional. So, you know, it's just like enabling people who are addicted to drugs.
Sure.
Instead of saying, I know it's hard for you to let your child go,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't let him almost die, he's going to definitely die because you're feeding him his drugs. Stop giving him money. Stop getting him out of the holes. Stop getting him out of prison. There was a young man in here this morning who went to prison. He said his friend turned him in who he'd robbed a bank, but he turned him in. He said, why'd you turn me in? He said, well, I got $1,000 so I could buy more drugs.
Oh, no.
He said the best thing in the world was going to jail. He got 10 years. He did 5. He got born again.
Amen.
Totally sold out on Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what I want to ask you. Now, let's go to the spiritual. Were you brought up spiritually? If not, when did you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I can remember the day still today.
Beautiful.
I was a young person, though. I was under 10. But like
under
I said,
10.
I can remember it. And I came to my mom and I said, I want Jesus. I want to make him, you know, in my life. I want him. And she said, okay. And we prayed, you know, together. And
yeah.
At the time, I asked the Lord into my heart, right? But
yes.
not knowing at the time that meant making him Lord of your life,
yeah.
you know. But anyway, and I went on and played, right? Well, I can remember coming back to her and saying, I don't feel anything different. I think I need to do it again. So we did it again, right? The
yeah.
third time I came back to her again. And she says, now, Crystal. And here is where, I'm going to get emotional. She taught me about the assurance of salvation and how you don't have to keep coming back. You will never be plucked out of his hand once
you
are in.
I sure hope you're right.
Absolutely. I believe it 100%. And from that day forward, really, his decisions became my decisions. And I think that's the important thing, is making him Lord of your life, allowing him to lead, seeking his guidance on everything that you do. That's the difference between just believing in him and actually having a relationship with him, you know?
And that's spectacular.
I was able to grow up. I was very blessed to live in a home where my parents were both in their Bible. I can remember writing notes to my mom in the morning because I knew she was going to get it because she would be in her Bible. I would put it in her Bible. So I would write these little notes to her and stick it in there because I knew she would open her word and be in it that morning. So same with my dad. So
it's funny how people in darkness think that wanting to read the Bible is a bondage, whereas we see that those people who are in bondage, you're set free by God.
Amen, yeah.
Jesus never condemned anybody.
There is such freedom in the Lord.
Yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. By the way, in case you're just tuning in, we're talking with the CEO of Graceway Village in St. Lucie County, and her name is Crystal Netherton.
Yes.
Netherton. And I was thinking of the Netherlands there. Oh. Netherton. And so it's delightful to have you here. Now, by the way, if somebody's listening to this broadcast and they'd like to make a contribution, do you have a website?
Absolutely. So gracewayvillage.com is our website. They can donate right there. They can also find out information about our two main programs. So currently we are meeting crisis needs through food and clothing. But as CEO, it's my vision, and also our board, it's our vision to do more and go beyond just meeting crisis needs and providing Band-Aids to a problem, like you were mentioning before about teaching a man to fish.
Yes.
That is what we are all about. So we have educational workshops where we have, how to budget. What is a budget?
Oh.
How to get out of the poverty that is, consuming their lives. How to get out of these crisis mindsets and move on to self-sufficiency. And again, that's where our restorative shelter for families threatened with homelessness is really going to change their lives, and not only change their lives, but the generations to come. Because, when your kids are calling a one-room hotel room their home, that creates a traumatized reaction. We may not see it right now, but there are many families since this pandemic, and also since the tragedies of the tornadoes, they lost their home. They're having to move into hotels or live in their cars. Mm. And this does create a traumatized reaction.
Well, I'm so
reaction.
Excited to work with you. When I was 14, there were things going on that I had to live in a rooming house by myself with no adult supervision. Then my mother, when she got sober, that some man came along, took her to a sober house. She got sober, met Benjamin Collins. They got married and had over 40 years of sobriety when they died. But her and I ended up living in a one-room little basement area of this place. And so I've been there. And that's what I like about different churches. We have a church in town here. They have a place out west of town where they take in wayward women and stuff. I don't know what the name of it is. House of Transfiguration. Have you heard of it? With Pastor Alex from Oceans Unite.
Oh, I've heard of Oceans Unite.
Yeah. Well, I'll introduce you if you want me to.
I love it.
So I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I'm tickled. And
it's really being the hands and feet of Jesus. Our meeting the physical needs is a way that we can share His goodness for the client to have some hope, some true hope in their lives.
Well, I'm excited to have somebody that's has the stability that you have. And what does your husband do for a living?
Oh, he's a welder. He's the owner and operator of A-Tech Welding.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So he's prospering, I hope, and doing well.
The Lord is good.
Ask him this. I thought I had a pastor years ago told me this. And he said, it was either Buddy Tipton in this town, I think it was him, or it was somebody else up north. And he had been a welder before he was called to the Lord. And he said, if you take a pipe and it has a crack in it, and that's its weakest spot, right? You put fire to that and you weld it. It'll break everywhere else before it will break where it once was weakest. Is that true?
You have a good welder.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in other words, what I'm getting at here, folks, is if you're going through tough times, I was talking to someone who was on-air personality most of his life recently, and I said to him over the phone, I said, well, Jesus learned obedience by that which he suffered. Now, he might have took a little umbrage, like, well, Jesus certainly didn't have to learn obedience. It says in the scriptures, it's right in, it says, Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It also said he was a man well acquainted with sorrow. And so the breaking of the pipe and whatever we've been through, whatever you're going through, the Greeks have a saying, for every obstacle there's an equivalent blessing. And I would venture, I don't know you from Adam, but I venture to say you've had your ups and downs. And have they not made you the woman of God that you are today?
Absolutely. I give him all glory. The obstacles that he brings into our lives, we have a choice if we're going to let that keep us down or are we going to rise above. And many times through the meal distribution, we are able to pray with clients at Graceway Village and really share the Lord's goodness.
I want to come down and volunteer a little bit.
Oh, I would love it. Yeah,
yeah,
we have a fun time.
I love
feeding people.
It's a
volunteer family. It really
is. Food
is
love to me, so yeah.
But it's all because of our donors that we're able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, people food don't realize, is so expensive.
You know, you write a check, yeah, but also if you can physically get in there, there's no joy better. It's a great secret. The Bible says, give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. Now, when you're going through despair or grieving, it's a hard thing to remember. Give unto others, mm-hmm. and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. You're feeling despondent. Come on down here. Come on down to the Grace Way Village. By the way, do people go to that Methodist church that was hit by the tornado? Is that where you are?
Oh, are you talking about Lakewood Park Church?
Is that your office?
No, sir. That's in a separate location that we really came beside them and helped with the
efforts. Oh, so when we stopped in the other day, Michael and I, to meet you there, that's not where your office is?
No, sir. We're at 1780 Hartman Road.
I have no idea where
it's
that is.
It's in Fort Pierce.
What's it near? How do I get there?
I'm sure everybody knows Moon Swiner's Barbecue.
Oh,
so it's next to Moon Swiner's Barbecue. They're wonderful.
Moon Swiner's?
Yes, sir. Best barbecue in town.
Come on down here, Moon Swiner's, and then come over and give us a gratuity to help feed the hungry.
They've been great, too, after these storms, just giving to the first responders, not charging the first responders for a meal. Bo Slay runs that establishment there, and he is such a generous giver. So they are a wonderful business to support as well.
Wow.
But Graceway Village is a 501c3 nonprofit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to ever diminish just writing a check like you just mentioned, because sometimes that's all an individual can do. And that's what it takes to be able to provide over 8,000 meals a month.
And I talked to a missionary recently, and I'm always trying to get big dollars to help me do my new recordings for gospel music or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, it's much easier. I said, how will you support it? He's in England, in London, and he converts Muslims. And he says, you don't get rich being a missionary.
No.
But he said, actually, it's the little $5 a month, $20 a month. People think it's
absolutely
the big bucks. You know, we're going to get the CEO of a corporation and they're going to give you $200,000 or they're going to give you $10 million. Yes, that's great. And they should, because they have God's money in their hands. But you tell me, you're the CEO. What is the majority people, regular people, working people like me that give you small checks?
Absolutely. So it's the monthly donors.
It is.
Who come through every month and are faithful with their, you know, $20, $50 donations. And that adds up, and that's how we're able to keep the lights on and keep our programs operating. Our clothing boutique gives out brand new socks and underwear. So the clothing is gently used, but the socks and underwear are all brand new, and that's an expense on us.
Sure.
And the food, I mean, everybody's feeling that in their budget. The rising cost of food is insane.
I can get you some stuff.
Oh, I'd love
it. I think.
But those financial monthly donations are what really fuels our organization. And that's a large part of our budget is individuals giving. We do have some church support, and then we do have a percentage that is some grants. But our majority budget is individual
now,
donors.
Now, grants.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of grants that won't help faith-based organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Is yours a faith-based organization?
So Graceway Village is definitely founded on Christian beliefs, but we do not require our clients to listen to us, to have prayer, to do any of that. So we do not require anything. If you're coming to me saying that you're hungry, you're going to get a meal.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And if you're needing clothes, you're going to get the clothes. So we do have those basic life skill workshops where we are educating our clients on financial stability, but nothing is required for them to listen to our religion or our faith. So,
well, my friend Barry is a Jewish guy who years ago I met. He just lost his wife recently. Most beautiful family, but he became a born-again Jewish guy. He had been in the shoe business, so we used to joke that he was saving more souls now.
I love it.
He became a rabbi, believer in Jesus for a while, went to Israel, came back. He runs a company in Albany, New York. Did you know that Amazon and Walmart, when you return an item, it costs them too much to put it back on the shelves? So they put them in big units and they give it to non-for-profits.
Okay.
He collects millions of dollars of this stuff every year and gives it out to non-for-profits.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to see if maybe because of this tornado, if we can get some of that sent up to you. If you want that.
Yeah, it depends on what it is.
Yeah, so let's find out. Let's look into it. It might be a good fit, and it might be a good fit.
Yeah, so we hear of our major needs right now is diapers, wipes.
Diapers. Yeah, we gave away men and women's diapers the other day, and it's, you know, not trying to embarrass anybody, but there are elderly people out there that need this stuff.
Absolutely. And then we have a gas program where we have volunteers that pump the gas for the client, so we know exactly what the client needs, and it's getting
into their car.
It's getting into their car. So we don't give out any gift cards or anything like that. But we do ask for those because then it helps us with that program and we can have our volunteers.
That you can use the gift card.
Gas.
Yeah, because you have to be careful, as we know.
We don't give out anything monetarily.
You know, hey, I'll trade you this for some marijuana or whatever.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah, these are things you've learned along the way.
Well, you know, it's not the kids' fault that they are in the situations that they are in. And many times the parents or guardians just need some further education and knowledge and some encouragement to get out of those situations. But, our main mission is the children and their families. And that's just where I tell my volunteers and staff all the time. Sometimes we make judgments on people, and I have been corrected in that many times. One in particular I can remember. A lady coming to us, and she was driving a brand new SUV, beautiful car. And I'm like, now, why is she coming to us for clothes? Well, turns out she had a choice to make between that vehicle and her home. And she took her daughter down to West Palm for treatment on the regular due to an illness. And she chose the vehicle because she needed a reliable vehicle to get her daughter to treatment. So they were living in that car.
So you can't judge a book by its cover.
I do not judge. Yeah, exactly. So I often say, if you think if there's that thought in your head, you know, sometimes we have to get through those to help the multitude that really needs it. And I don't let those individuals discourage me.
You know, I'm writing a book on dignity now. This is my big thing on dignity.
Oh, you have to come visit our clothing boutique because it is set up like a store to where the clients have such dignity to come in and pick out what they want for free.
I want to hear all about it. What we don't realize, a lady out here a couple of years ago didn't smile at me when I was walking by. Looked like a homeless lady. And I said, it bothered me. Why didn't she smile? I said, because, Rhett, she doesn't have any self-dignity. When you don't think, if you don't value yourself, you don't think, I don't have anything to give you. What do I have to give you? You don't want me. And so there was a, then I talked to my friend David Usher. He became a born-again Christian 6 months after me. We're lifelong friends. And he told me, and I remember when I lived in Troy, New York, in the ghetto, there was a young attorney, well, not young attorney, the guy was like 61 or something, but that is young compared to down here. But anyway, he went down to the Green Island Bridge, put rocks in his pockets, I read in the newspaper, and jumped in and drowned himself.
Oh.
Now, it's all these years later. So I'm starting on this book, and my friend calls me and tells me the story. There's a man who said, "If I'm going to go jump off the Green Island Bridge in Troy, New York, unless," this is his caveat, "unless someone says hello or engages in a conversation with me." So he gets all the way down to the bridge. No one has spoken to him. And at the last minute before he's going to commit suicide, an old guy comes along, starts talking to him. Now, that man gave that younger man dignity. We never know. I might have $10 million, but I might be on my way to buy drugs to kill myself. Have you ever had an occasion where maybe a stranger was kind to you?
Absolutely.
And you weren't expecting it that they might they'll never have any idea that just – I remember being at a Calvary Chapel thing for Easter one year, and this big older guy comes up and puts his hand on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I was 55, 60. That sounds old to you, but to me it was like you wouldn't think a guy my age would need a touch.
Yeah.
Just a nice – it was like, oh, you know?
That's right.
Just that touch, that human touch or somebody acknowledging you. I remember there's a famous – rock singer. He's kind of a scroungy little guy. I forget his name. But years ago, I read in Rolling Stone magazine that every time he sees an older person, he smiles. Mm-hmm. You may be the only human being on this earth that welcomes them into the family of humanity that day and validates their existence. Well, but the point is, we have the power.
Mm-hmm.
We have the power. If I hold the door open for you, And, you know, you might say, oh, you're a gentleman and a scholar, or you may not say anything. And this is another thing people go wrong. They expect, well, he should have said thank you. No.
Yeah.
You do it to give.
That's right.
And the moment I hold the door for you, I've already become more of a gentleman. When I dignify you and put you first, remember Paul said to esteem others greater than self? And I think is a real joy in it.
Absolutely.
Like when you're driving, and
yes.
You don't let somebody drive in and say, if you need to get along that much, you go right ahead.
And you
let
know what it does also? What? Studies have shown that it also increases your health. Your immune system response.
Yeah.
So there are studies out there that show that when you let someone in traffic, it increases your health. But also if someone sees it, it increases their health.
And they end up going down
so
the street and you see
ripple.
Them letting somebody else
yeah,
in.
It's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
It really is. Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
So, well, you've got a joy-filled life in that.
Thank you,
too. Well, don't thank me. I had nothing to do with it. But what I am thanking you for
you
this.
But you see it.
Yeah, I see the joy in you, but
beautiful.
Because
you're,
everything you do, you're here today not to promote CEO Crystal Netherton.
Absolutely not.
Of Graceway Village.
He told me there was a video and my hands started sweating. I don't like it.
Oh, no. We'll invite you back. You look very pretty on there. You
oh,
look
thanks.
Great. Look at me.
But
I mean,
no.
Dude, I got to get a camera over here for me.
Stop.
You know?
It's the programs and to God be the glory. The volunteers that come out and help us, the donors that donate to us, the ability to be able to offer this is just
how do you get?
Thing.
No, let me ask this, Noah. By the way, would you please let me know of timing? Okay, so I know when to begin and end here. Again, in case somebody's just tuning in, that we're talking with CEO Crystal Netherton of Graceway Village. And if I were to say we're on an elevator, give me the 22nd. We're going to be down. We're on the 40th floor. We're going to be down here
yeah.
in 20 seconds. What is Graceway Village?
So Graceway Village is currently meeting the crisis needs of our neighbors in need through our two main programs, which is food and clothing.
Yes.
But then also we have aspirations and dreams to build a restorative village for families threatened with homelessness. This shelter will be a place where they can have the opportunity to have a full working program to reach self-sufficiency. So it will provide just the generations to come lasting impact. Our current programs offer free hot meals 4 nights a week. And our clothing boutique is twice a week. 20
That's
seconds,
great.
You said.
You did it.
I nailed it.
Okay, now
no.
tell me about the, I want to know about the.
Now, would you like more information
yes.
on that?
I want to go down the list. Let's start with the clothing boutique.
Absolutely.
Tell us all about that. Is it mostly for women or is it for everybody?
So our clothing boutique currently is for children, 18 years old
children.
And younger.
Okay.
We operate Tuesday and Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. What we do here is provide a boutique where the clothing is set out like a store so our clients can come in, whether they've been referred to us from outside other organizations or other agencies, or if they just come to us and say, hey, I've heard about you. They meet Jenny, a smiling face, our administrative assistant at the front desk, and she gets just some simple information from them because we do have statistics on every client that we serve. So we know we're serving over 400 children a month in our clothing boutique.
Wow.
We know every meal in our cafe has every meal is a person, right?
Yeah.
So we know exactly who we're serving and the demographics.
And when do you
it.
Serve people? Food.
Oh, well, now let's stick to the clothing boutique,
okay,
right?
Okay, we'll get that later. Okay, you're not done with this yet.
That was my fault, though. I did veer off.
I'll jump right on, yeah. You know.
So anyway, the clothing boutique operates the 2 days a week, Tuesday and Wednesday from 10 to 2.
Tuesday and Wednesday from 10 till 2.
Yes, and what's really special.
And it's located.
1780 Hartman Road.
Okay.
And what's really special about the clothing boutique is each client is paired with a volunteer. And the volunteer helps them throughout their whole shopping experience and gets to know the family, gets to understand why they're coming. You know,
was that your idea?
No, it was. No.
But regardless,
it was in place. Yes.
Even if it was, you're not going to tell us.
Right. But
Ronald Reagan said it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody cares who gets the credit.
There you go. Absolutely. 100%. But that's really a special part of it because there's so many different reasons that brings the client to us. Could be a house fire, could be grandparents getting their grandkids, could be, just multiple
reasons.
But what
are you doing with these tornadoes? Folks, I was in my car crying the other day.
I went down with Michael.
I went with Pastor Trevor here from Morningside.
Yes.
I was just like, I've been through hurricanes.
Yeah.
I've never seen devastation like this.
No.
As I saw in Spanish Lakes.
Never. No, never.
Did you take a ride through there?
Yes, I have not been to Spanish Lakes yet. The Lakewood Park area is heavily affected, and that's
where
we have been, you know, focusing our efforts on. It's a sad, tragic thing, but Graceway Village is there to meet those clients while they're in crisis. So providing the essential items to them. In our clothing boutique, we provide their core 12 items, but then, each child gets shoes and jackets. And so they're anywhere from 12 to 30 items they leave.
Now, do you have to live in St. Lucie County?
No, sir. We accept everybody who comes to us.
Like, I know a single mom in town here.
Yes. Tell her to come. If she can make it to us, we will definitely serve her.
And her son.
Absolutely.
He's 12 or 13. Is that too old?
No, sir. Oh. 18 years old and younger.
Oh, up to 18.
Yes, sir.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then we're in the process of expanding. So we've partnered with Career Source. And if you're searching for a job or you need professional attire, we serve those adults. And then eventually we will move into serving adults. But, you know, kids right now, they come in all shapes and sizes. So we do take adult clothing as donations. But it needs to be youthful is what I like to say.
Yeah.
So that's our clothing boutique, and it's a wonderful program. They do, they're able to come every 4 months. So during that 4 month time, we ask that they take a community workshop, which is anywhere in the community, or we provide them Tuesday and Wednesday at 11 a.m. And these are classes that we have in English, Creole, and Spanish.
I've been to Haiti a couple times as a short-term missionary.
Oh, beautiful.
Fell in love with those people.
Oh, and when you
hard working.
When you can speak the language, it's another level of...
Jazzy Remy Ou, Jazzy Remy Moi.
It's another level of care. You know,
yes.
They already may feel a little hesitation coming, but then whenever they're able to speak their own language, they really feel
dignity.
More comfortable. Exactly. With
You're
that dignity.
Honoring them.
Yes, sir.
Wherever I travel, I try to learn some words.
Sure.
Because they recognize it. Efharisto, Paragalo, when you go to Greece. I went to Greece. Oh, they lighten up. Oh, you took the effort to learn,
right.
You know, or merci beaucoup, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. They see it. And so what you're doing is there's that dignity thing I was telling you about.
Yes.
You honor them.
Absolutely.
By that.
And now our cafe program.
You know what?
Program.
I want to try to remember that. I'm going to put that as a page in my book, how you do that. And that you use the different languages to communicate with them. That's good.
Yes.
If I forget that, maybe you'll remember because you're younger than me.
Okay.
Okay.
Write
the
it
languages.
Down. There you go. But now our cafe program.
Yeah. Tell me about the cafe food is love to me.
And, it's unfortunate that we still have food insecurity in our community.
What does that mean, food insecurity?
Many families don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And that's a concern of theirs. And when you're living in that crisis mindset of not knowing where your food's coming from, not knowing where you're going to stay that night, you can't function as we are used to functioning. So it's really hard to live in that constant state of crisis. So we really try to provide, a warm, hot meal 4 nights a week. You're guaranteed to get that. And it's a lovely meal. At least 45% of our clients we serve have some type of health concern.
Now, if I come a bunch of nights, I can come even though I'm not a family? Can I come as a single
Absolutely.
Homeless male?
Yes, absolutely. If you're coming to us saying you're hungry, you're going to get a meal.
Really?
Yes.
You said that before in this interview. Good.
Yeah. So,
by the way, we're talking with the CEO, Crystal Netherton, because, they cut this up into pieces, of Graceway Village in St. Lucie County.
Yes.
And you would say Graceway Village is a...
nonprofit organization providing crisis assistance to our neighbors in need. Yeah, so our cafe program provides that free hot meal 4 nights a week. We value the health of our clients, and about 45% of our clients we are serving have some type of health concern. So we really prioritize a healthy, hearty meal.
Diabetic or?
Absolutely. So you're going to have a nice size protein. We're not your average soup kitchen, if you would think about it. We're really giving a hearty
meal.
What do you
have? I mean, is there a little room somewhere? Or do you have a cafeteria?
No, we have a full kitchen. Our chef is an actual certified chef. Maria Sanchez is absolutely amazing. She also has her own catering business on the side, DSK Catering. Look her up. She is oh man, she can do some beautiful meals. So,
so you have a regular, how many people are you feeding daily?
Over 8,000 a month during
8,000 meals
a month. But that was before this crisis of the tornado.
Oh.
So the tornadoes have really increased our operation, and we're serving nearly 1,000 a day.
Do you sit them down at one seating, or do you have separate?
No, sir. It's in a to-go fashion. So we do.
Oh, it's a to-go. They come
yes,
to
sir.
You. They don't eat there.
Correct.
Oh.
Some of them do.
You have facilities that can sit down?
Well, we have many that walk up to us or may be experiencing homelessness. So we provide, you know, their silverware and stuff like that. And they sit down at our bench and have a meal. But
you seem to be
usually,
an elegant young lady.
Oh, my goodness.
So let me ask you
thank
this.
Thank you.
Do you know, but I at times in my life have loved to dine. When I lived in the ghetto, I didn't get to do it.
Yes, sir.
So when I started making some dough, I fell in love with white linen dining.
Yes, sir.
The drizzle and the Dover slow with the blah, blah. Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, you're going to hear my belly growl.
So my dream, I have this dream. Jesus said, give to those who can't repay you. And so because that means a lot to me, you know, there's people out there that live out here. They've never, ever once. You know, when I went to Haiti, there's not one supermarket that looks like Publix, which we
sure.
take for granted every day.
We're shopping.
Or when
it's
I went
a pleasure.
To Zimbabwe, Africa. It's amazing what we have no idea how wealthy we are. And so what was my point going to be? But I don't know how to go about finding the right people, but I'd like to, you know, maybe a Christmas dinner, invite people, bust them in who've never had and actually have white linen, candles. And I'd like to be, of course, the one I'd like to serve. You know, I want to be the waiter for the people.
Yes. I totally envision that in our facility. So these families that are yeah. going to be living there once we get it built, thanks to the community effort, will be able to do things like that and give them experiences like that.
Yeah,
so
once
that
in
they
a while,
can,
you know.
Because it's important for them yeah. to learn to aspire to that, right?
Yes.
Like currently, when you're living in crisis, you don't even know that that's possible.
To have the self-dignity, listen, the self-dignity to realize they're worthy.
Absolutely.
They're worthy. And so if you admit it, like you say, well, I want to do this. Well, you think maybe you're worthy of having a certain success. Stop leaning forward. Where should I be? Like this? Okay, like this. Okay. He doesn't want me leaning forward.
Oh, I thought
forward.
He was talking to me.
Well, because like, this mic loses me. No,
oh,
you're doing
I see.
Fine. So what was I saying about? So letting that person, if they know that they have the self, if they have the self-dignity, you know, I may be... I like, you know, you may not like Whoopi Goldberg, and I'm not crazy about some of the things she says, but she said, I may be from the ghetto, but the ghetto ain't in me.
Okay.
And I always loved that saying. I read that in one of her books years ago. You know, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot about her,
right.
You know, whatever. But nonetheless, I like that saying she came up with. I may be from the ghetto, but the ghetto, you know, I was in the ghetto, but the ghetto ain't in me.
But you know, you took some lessons, right, from it.
From everybody.
And that, I think, is what remains is an important part of who we are in our stories.
Yeah.
Is those trials, whatever they may be, that we really learn from them and teach our clients to aspire to more. You know, teach these kids
yeah.
to dream for the stars, right?
Yeah.
We say that. But
well, I thought
many.
I was going to have to do this all my life. You don't have to work in a factory.
Yeah.
How would you like to learn to be an air conditioning, a technician or?
HVAC technician, yeah. Like
or somebody
right?
who's, you know.
And there's many clients that, like I said earlier, you know, they're calling that one-room hotel room their home.
Yeah.
And they don't know that they can have better because that's all they've ever seen. So getting them out of that and having them come to a facility like Graceway Village's shelter will be a place where they have that opportunity to learn to aspire for more and then have the education with it to learn how to do a budget and learn how they can increase their finances by education and getting a trade job or certificate or something like that. So partnering within the community is also very important. We have in St. Lucie County, IRSC is right next door.
Yep.
That is an amazing college.
It
so
is.
Amazing opportunities exist there. We have different organizations that are very supportive of our mission and our mindset to really help our neighbors in need and really do something about the families threatened with homelessness in our area.
When COVID was here, I was 68. Now, I told you I'm 70. They had this program. I found out about it, from Joseph, from Joseph's Cookies. But I found out I could go to college, go back to – now, I'm a high school dropout.
Okay.
Okay, eighth grade. But I do have a friend of mine, just to make – so I don't sound totally – he's up at John's Island. He's a billionaire. He has an eighth grade education. He said, Rhett, can you imagine what would happen if I went to ninth grade? So anyway, but I went back to college. I went up there when it was complimentary for older people. And, you know, my first thing was, oh, I got there that night. I thought, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. These kids must disdain me and hate me. All the young people there embraced me as an equal.
Absolutely.
Not as an inferior old guy. And then the teacher is a professor, and she says, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. Well, as it turned, and then there's waves of inferiority. I found it. She said, oh, I've been a listener to your show for 20 years.
Nice.
You need to write a book.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, all of a sudden, wow. And then I'm sitting at the front of the, and they know, the teachers know. I've never had an A in my life. I was on the dean's list both semesters.
Wonderful.
The dean's list. I'm a nobody. Anyway, the reason I share these things, not to boast of me. It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not getting any degree. But if I did it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
And there's hope. And if we give the dignity to these people that are coming in, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm very excited. We got about 6 minutes left. My mind's going crazy.
Wow.
I want to jump in and I want to take a tour of your place.
I would love that.
And then
maybe
there's a time where I could come and do a video tour. And
sure.
Then we could put it on.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And also, I would love to tell you about our Celebration Under the Stars event that we have coming up on February 8th.
February 8th.
Yes, sir. You can go online to GracewayVillage.com.
That's a number of months away from now, but okay.
It is.
February 8th. And you go to where?
GracewayVillage.com.
GracewayVillage.com.
Yeah. And you can purchase your tickets there. Or
what's going to happen? What's going to be?
Oh, so it's going to be wonderful. So our first one was this February. A great turnout. Community leaders, those invested in the vision and mission of Graceway Village can really just come out and have a good time. Going to have a jazz band. Going to have Congressman Brian Mass will most likely be speaking at this event.
Is he the one that lost his legs?
Yes, sir. He did. Right. Fighting for our freedom. Yes. Thank you so much, Congressman.
God bless you.
That's right. So, so we're really excited about that event coming up February 8th.
February 8th.
And any businesses that would like some sponsorship opportunities, you can find that also on the website. But a great time to not only get your business logo out there, but let the community know that you support nonprofits in your area by highlighting the sponsorship and able to partner together to really get some funds so that we can continue these wonderful programs that Graceway Village provides.
Wow. So how long have you been the CEO?
May will be 2 years.
How are you liking it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. You know, like you mentioned earlier, it's a lot of responsibility. You know, we do a great job meeting the needs of our community. So it's whenever I come in and I talk to people like you and different things, I always feel that weight of getting the client's story across appropriately, you know? So I tend to get emotional because I know that there's so many kids out there that really need people like us in their lives, supporting and helping their families through hard times. So offering that helping hand to families is what community is all about. And we're only as strong as our weakest link. So I believe we all have the job of coming alongside these families while they're down and helping them up for a little bit.
You know, a couple of years ago, I know I'll lose my reward for this. I don't care. So a couple of years ago, I'm going to, I think it was Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
And I could tell the lady didn't have, you know, a pot to, you know what, in and nothing. So anyway, so when I snuck over to her after we were leaving and I gave her a sizable amount of money. And she started crying. So I get out in the car. I'm all by myself. And the Lord said this to me, now not in an audible voice, but an unction. Give now, because where you're going, they won't need your money there. I thought, oh my word, what if this is a window that's opened right here? And for all eternity, this is the only time it'll be open. Can you imagine having $1 billion and not having the joy of giving it away? In other words, whether you have $1 billion or whether I go down and I have nothing except to give my time and make some burgers for you guys or do some cooking or feed some people in your cafeteria at Graceway Village, wouldn't you say, you know, because as you as the CEO, you too, you're giving. Wouldn't you say that's a center of joy?
Absolutely. Yeah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he really calls us to take care of those that are hungry.
But it's just, even if it wasn't for him, it's a joy to give.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a joy. And yeah. So if you're down, I've got the remedy. Are you going through, did somebody die?
Yeah.
The first thing you got to do, go to the hospital and visit the children's, you know, cancer society, cancer segment, or what do you call it?
We were just having this conversation with my volunteers, and they were saying how, you know, if they're having a bad day, they come in and volunteer and their spirits are lifted. I mean, whether it be the clients or whether it be the other volunteers or just that sense of community.
Mm-hmm. So the volunteers,
the volunteers are absolutely wonderful.
Lifts their spirits, yeah.
Yeah. It's a tremendous volunteer family is what I like to call it, because it's so true. You know, these are our people that we can call upon when we need them. These are our people we can call and share good stories with. It's our community.
You know, people think that they need to get into a position of power as a CEO, or they need to have friends that are in high places, or they need to be a politician with power, or they want to make $100 million to have power. And I'm going, oh my gosh, it's the greatest deceit in all history.
Yeah.
Everybody has power. Mm-hmm. I might walk out of here today. Not, maybe I'm putting on a face today and really, really hurting inside. I'm not, but I'm saying, let's say I am. I walk out and somebody says, hi.
Sure.
Oh, thank you for saying hi.
Right.
They don't know I'm a tacos. They don't know nothing about me. And because, so if people would realize they have the power, everybody, you can be homeless and walking down the street and give a person the dignity.
Right. We all have a platform, and it's what what are we going to do that
what
day
is real
with our
wealth?
Platform? Yeah.
And anyway, Jesus said, why do you work for that which you cannot keep?
Mm.
And there was a famous missionary said, why give up, why keep what you can, why gain what you cannot keep to give up what you cannot lose?
Mm.
And he went, and he was spearheaded down in South America after that at 28 years of age. And his wife went down, Elizabeth, and won the murderer to Jesus. And then all the natives, you know what they said? They said when they killed the American missionaries, they saw angelic beings flying around, and now they got converted to Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Hey, listen, so we've been talking with CEO Crystal Netherton. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you so much for having
oh, man.
Me.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. As a representative for the people out there, thank you very much. Thanks for helping my lords and my fathers and brothers, people out there. And I want you to keep on doing it. And we're going to be here. We're going to stand with you and help you when we can. Graceway Village. Just remember, Graceway Village. Graceway Village.
Love
Graceway
it.
Village. Crystal Netherton. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.